Thank you for the good singing. I appreciate the participants. You're singing beautifully. You and I are living in a world that's rapidly headed for judgment. I want to repeat that. You and I are living in a world that's rapidly headed for judgment. Now, you're either the part of the world or you've been born in the family of God. The world's not going to be saved, beloved. The world is working overtime, going to hell. Now, you're part of the world, or you're part of the family of God. You know, and the Lord knows which it is. I do not know. I call our attention to the last book in the Bible. The book of Revelation. Revelation gives us the consummation of all things. The book of Genesis gives us the beginning. The book of Revelation gives us the consummation. Now, the book of Revelation has three major divisions: past, present, and future. Verse 19 of chapter 1 divides the book of Revelation that way. John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. God utilized him to give us the consummation of all things in the book of Revelation. He was told to write the things which thou hast seen. That's past in John's life. You'll find that in chapter 1. It tells us that John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Write the things which are. That was present in John's life and is present in our lives now. That's chapters 2 and 3. That's the message to the seven churches of Asia. Seven in Bible numerics denote completion. We're somewhere in the third chapter, waiting for the Lord to come to rapture His church. When we come to the fourth chapter, we find the scene changes from earth to heaven. From the fourth chapter on, you find the church no more in the book of Revelation until the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, when we come with the Lord. You find in verse 1 of the 4th chapter, after this. After what? After the consummation of the church age. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which saith, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, I want you to get the vision that John had. As he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and this scene changes from earth to heaven. And he tells what he saw there in heaven. A throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. Now, let's go to the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, and let's read together the first 10 verses. We'll zero in on verses 9 and 10 as text verses. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. He saw a scroll. And that scroll was written on front and back, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John says, I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, this is omnipotence, seven eyes, omniscient, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book of the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, we shall reign on the earth. And beloved, this is the eternal song of the redeemed here. They sung a new song. Thou art worthy. I'll be in that choir. Will you be in that choir when the song breaks forth to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ? Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. So that's our thought this morning, the eternal song of the redeemed. Will you be there? Will you be singing in that choir? Now, the seven seal book has been called Christ is titled Deed to the Earth. When you think about it, that's correct. At His death on the cross, beloved, Jesus paid the price to purchase man and the earth from the condemnation of sin. What a price He paid. His own blood. He tells us Himself, in John 10:17-18, that no man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. In Genesis 1:26, we find the creation of man. And God said, Let us, Elohim, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, make man in our image and after our likeness. Man was created from the dust of the earth. This body was. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God placed man in a high position. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, and so forth. So God created man to have a high position. Dominion over God's created earth. But God, man lost that position. He lost it in the fall when he was disobedient to God. You know, God placed him in a beautiful garden and told him, Of every tree amidst the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. And there's consequences. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Or die and thou shalt die. Why do people die? Disobedience to God brought sin and death on Adam and his posterity. And here we are. At the very best. And I don't mean to be pessimistic. I believe in optimism. But I believe to be an optimist you've got to look beyond this walk of life. At the very best. All of us here today has just a few days upon this earth. And we're going to change dwelling places. Just a few days at the most upon this earth. And we're changing dwelling places. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're going into eternity, beloved? Do you understand why? Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, beloved, the earth is Jesus's by right of purchase by His own blood. Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. For as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ is the basis of redemption, not only of fallen man, but of the earth as well. We go to Romans the 8th chapter just a moment and begin reading in verse 18 of Romans the 8th chapter. To substantiate what I said, begin reading verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul is writing to God's people. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption in the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Let us notice here in our text in the book of Revelation, Jesus takes the book from the hand of the Father. Why? Why did Jesus reach there in heaven and get the seven-sealed book from the hand of God the Father? Why did He do it? Because it's His right to administer the judgments of the seven-sealed book. Now, where we're at in the book of Revelation, the judgment is about to fall on this sin-cursed earth. As you study and read, listen, beloved, the wrath of God is about to fall, not to be poured out, on this sin-cursed earth. You can go to Revelation chapter 6 through 19 and see what's in the future for the earth. You can see what's in your future. In chapters 6 through 19 of the book of Revelation, are you going to be in that heavenly choir before the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this sin-cursed earth? Not if you're not under the blood of Christ. You're going to experience things that we read about in the book of Revelation. Men will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Let's just read about it. 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. Begin with me in verse 12. Verse 12 of the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. And I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal. You know that book? The seal with 7 seals. And as he begins to break those seals, the wrath of God is poured out upon this sin-cursed earth. We find the intensification of the wrath of God as each seal is broken. I beheld when he had opened the 6th seal, lo, was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great wrath, day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Go to the 9th chapter with me, if you will, please. And let's begin reading in verse 4. He was commanded the other day, verse 3. There came out of the smoke locust upon the earth. Unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. In those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Beloved, that's in the future. For those who know not the Lord in the forgiveness of sin. But go back to chapter 4 and verse 1 with me just a moment. Chapter 4 and verse 1, we read these words. After this I looked, and behold, a door is open in heaven. The first voice which I heard was, it were a trumpet talking with me, which saith, come up hither. I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, as you look at this, come up hither, it's fulfillment of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's just go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is what we're waiting for now as God's people. This is what we're yearning for, what we're looking for. And this is the next great event on God's timetable. So let's look at verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Don't be uninformed concerning them which are asleep. Those are loved ones who have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede to go before them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now that's what we're waiting for right now. That's what God's people are yearning for, longing for, the coming of the Lord in the rapture. We'll go up to be with Him. Now, we're there in that heavenly choir when the wrath of God is fixed to be poured out upon this sin-cursed earth. Now, I want you to look as He takes the scroll. Heaven breaks forth in a song. Look at that. May we notice four things about this song in verse 9. First, it's a new song. They sung a new song. Beloved, why was it a new song? The oldest song in the Bible is the song of praise sung by angels at the creation. That's the oldest song in the Bible, recorded in Job, the 38th chapter, and I believe it's verse 7. Job was asked by the Lord, Lord, Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? You read that chapter sometime. And then, in verse 7, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, Job, where were you? When those angels broke loose in song of praise to the Lord in creation. Yes, their song of joy and praise to God was interrupted by sin's entrance into God's creation. How did this happen? We've already shown you. You can go to the third chapter of the book of Genesis and find where man disobeyed God. It brought sin and death. So you see, beloved, sin and death entered. The wreath of sorrow has hung on creation's door ever since, as we're told in Romans 8:22. The wreath of sorrow has hung on creation's door ever since. God's people have sung since sin entered, but their singing has always had the cross in view. Why? Why has God's people always had the cross in view when they sung? You see, sin took the song of praise out of creation. But thank God, through Jesus Christ, His Son, the Savior, He restores it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, in that He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Is there any wonder that Paul, under inspiration of the Lord, writes, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Beloved, you either have a heart trust in the finished work of Christ, and you've been birthed into the family of God, or you're part of the world that's headed for destruction. Jesus is the difference. Do you know Him? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God does not have life. It's a new song. A new song. And then we find, secondly, verse 9, it's a song of praise to the Redeemer. Look at verse 9. Thou art worthy. A song of praise to our Redeemer. We notice John wrote of sorrow when none in heaven, earth, or the underworld was found worthy to open the scroll. And I thought about Abraham. I thought about Isaac. I thought about Jacob. I thought about Job. I thought about Elijah. I thought about Enoch. I thought about Stephen. I thought about Paul. I thought about so many in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And they said, no one in heaven, on earth, or the underworld was found worthy to even look upon the book. But let's on to take it and to begin to break those seals when the judgment of God is falling. But listen, notice carefully now. Weep not, John. Why? Why? Notice carefully. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus stepped forward. Heaven resounded with the song of praise to Him. Thou art worthy. He's the only one that's worthy. He and He alone paid the price that sinners like me could be reconciled back to God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God doesn't have life. Can you go back in your life? When the Holy Spirit made Jesus real to you, He gave you faith to trust that Jesus died for you, that He was buried on the third day, He rose again for your justification. If so, thou art worthy to receive honor and praise and glory. Beloved, all our singing should be to Him. To Him. In Ephesians 5:19, Paul, under the inspiration of the Lord, says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All our singing should be to Him, to exalt Him, to glorify Him, to honor Him. And that's why I say, He's not interested so much in art singing as He is heart singing. Those old songs of Zion that exalts our Savior is such a blessing to me. And I trust to you. Oh, beloved, this contemporary singing makes me weep. Makes me weep. They want to honor man. Our singing is to glorify Him. We note they sang of His worthiness in verse 9. Look at it. Thou art worthy for an innumerable host of reasons. He is worthy of praise, but one overshadows them all. What is that one? Thou wast slain. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, because He took my place at Calvary. He took your place at Calvary. He paid a debt you couldn't pay. He paid a debt I couldn't pay. And it's paid in full in the finished work of the Son of God in my place, in your place. That's why we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, He hath made Him to be sin for us. God hath made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He and He alone hath made us accepted in the blood. He and He alone has given us the faith to trust the finished work of Christ for salvation. What can we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God. That you believe on Him in whom He has sent. Beloved, if you have a heart, trust in that Jesus died for you, that He was buried the third day, He rose again for your justification. This is all the gift of God, and you've been born in the family of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's the Word of God. That's not the philosophy of some theologian. That's what thus saith the Lord. In 1 Peter 3:18, we read these words. Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, made alive by the Spirit of God. The just for the unjust. Why? That He might bring us to God. He's the bridge over troubled water, beloved, only Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. That's why we're told in 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self, by our sins in His body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. So we find it's a new song. It's a song of praise to the Redeemer. But look in verse 9 again. This is a third point. It's a song of redemption by Jesus' blood. Hath redeemed us to God by thy blood. I look at Revelation 1 and 5. It says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Redeem means to set free by paying a price. It describes what we were in bondage. Bondage to sin and to Satan. Dead in trespasses and in sins. And it also describes what Christ has done for us. Set us free. Set us free. Redeemed to God. Redeemed to Him and for Him. Why did God save me, an old sinner like me? Why did He save a sinner like you? Why did He birth me into His family? Royal family. Why did He birth you into His family? You're a child of the King. He did it for a purpose. He did it for a reason. What is that reason? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why did He save me? 2 Corinthians 5:20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be you reconciled to God. We're His representative on earth. He's our great high priest in the glory world. So, are we honoring Him redeemed by blood. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. Not any blood, but precious blood. The blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is gruesome to the unbeliever is so glorious to the believer. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it's the power of God. The power of God. The devil does not like blood redemption preaching. You don't hear much of it in a lot of churches today. But we read in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Then last of all, look at verse 10. It's a song of glory through Jesus' blood. The eternal song of the redeemed hath made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on earth. Look at verses 5 and 6 with me. One of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, to loose the seven seals thereof. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth. Under complete inspiration of God, John records two significant figures here. Look at verse 6. He says, a lamb slain, but standing. I want you to notice that. The symbol of resurrection life. Victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. We could go to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 58, but we won't. But that's what that symbolizes, a symbol of resurrection life. A lamb slain, but standing. Jesus dismissed his spirit. They took him down from the cross, buried in a barred tomb. On the third day, he came forth victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave. And then, he says in verse 5, he heard the elder call Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's the symbol of majesty and power. Christ's first coming was a lamb to die. You remember John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus was born to die, to pay a debt that we couldn't pay. And he did that willingly. His second coming will be as a lion to conquer, to judge, and to reign. Do you remember what we read in Matthew 28:18, where Jesus said, all power or all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth? Listen, beloved, the glorious prospect for the true believer is that he will reign with Christ in verse 10. Let's reread verses 9 and 10 together. Could we do that? The eternal song of the redeemed. They sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, hath made us unto our God kings and priests. We shall reign on the earth. Yes, the eternal song of the redeemed. Will you be found here in this choir? Will you be singing in that heavenly choir? Thou art worthy. Go with me to the fourth division of Psalms as we close. The psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Set my feet on a solid rock. Established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth. even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. If redemption is not a reality in your life, would you seriously consider your eternal destiny? It's before all of us. It's before all of us. An eternal destiny. We're all going out of this walk of life in one of two conditions. In Christ, our inner sins. And remember what Jesus said, John 14:6. He said, I am the definite article, the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father except through Jesus the Son. So we talk about the song of redemption. There's four things. A new song, a song of praise to the Redeemer, a song of redemption by Jesus' blood, and a song of glory through Jesus' blood. Is this a reality in your life? Will you be in that choir in heaven? Father, thank you for Jesus, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He shall yet do for those that love you. Change these old vile bodies and fashion them like unto His glorious body. We yearn and long for the soon coming of our Lord to consummate our salvation. Father, we are so dependent upon You. Every phase of our life, we are totally dependent creatures. Acknowledge it's in You we live and move and have our being. You teach us in Your Word that it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust alike. The sun shines on the just and on the unjust alike. But Lord, You teach us in Your Word there's coming a day when You're going to judge this old sinful world in righteousness. But You show us in Your Word that we'll be there in that heavenly choir singing with You when the wrath of God begins to be poured out on this sin-cursed earth. How our heart yearns to see the lost come to know You in the forgiveness of sin. Impress upon all of us, regardless of our age, of the nearness of death, the nearness of eternity in all of our lives. By the Holy Spirit, open spiritual blinded eyes to the truth. Salvation is in and through the finished work of Christ. Yes, You who birth people into Your family by Your power. Thank You for the church You shed Your precious blood for and gave the commission to get out the Word of God. Search our hearts and our minds, Father, on what are we doing to get out the Word of God to our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors. And to warn them of the wrath to come. May You receive honor and glory in all that we say and do in our song service, our teaching service, our preaching service, our witnessing service. It's all about You and we praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.